Uncertainty on global markets has been heightened even more now as President Donald Trump's administration has blacklisted 8 Chinese technology giants, citing China's negative treatment of a minority ethnic group in that country, with the Chinese threatening to hit back, saying people must, in inverted commas, stay tuned. On top of that, President Trump surprised the world by deciding to pull out US troops out of northern Syria, which could pave the way for Turkey to strike against the Kurdish population there. This has confounded even members of Trump's Republican Party, with key figures from his party cautioning against the decision. US markets are broadly in the red, as are European markets, and the all-share index didn't escape the trend, falling by 0.33% to close at 54,533 index points. Most sectors were down, although gold mining stocks held their own, up around 1.8%, with the underlying gold price also up some, trading around $1,503 an ounce. The local currency is on a downer, trading around 15.28 against the dollar, 16.73 against the euro, and steady as you go vis-a-vis the pound at around 18.65. Well, to break down the markets for us, I'm joined in studio by Nessan Nair. He's a senior portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities. Thanks very much for joining us, Nessan.
Good evening.
Good stuff. So, what are the market drivers today?
Well, on the local front, we were slightly down on the day. I think if you go through the sectors, it was mainly the financials that had dragged us. It was hard to point for a reason why. The banks were down. I mean, Standard Bank, First Rand down about 1.5%, and Investec and APSA were down slightly higher, about 2% and a bit, which I think was the main reason why we were down. The Rand was slightly weaker, which tends to have an impact, an immediate impact on the financial shares. On the retailers, we saw Clicks slightly down. Remember, it was up 13% yesterday.
Yes.
On an excellent trading update. So it could be a little bit of settling on the share. Dis-Chem was down as well. So, pretty much a negative day for SA Inc., but not by a lot. Mm. I think the events taking place internationally are probably weighing in a little on investors and maybe people taking some risk off the table.
Exactly. Should we just as well kiss the trade talks goodbye between the US and China? I mean, there's all this argy-bargy that I've just outlined now, and that's before the talks even take place on Thursday.
It's a strange set of circumstances that we face with this US-China ongoing trade dispute. I'm not sure whether it's just a very difficult courtship or it's actually a very ugly breakup. Because, sometimes when you listen to Trump, talk about it, he seems so positive that they're going to get an outcome that's favorable to the US. And then, a week later, he's completely against any sort of deal with China, upping tariffs and, putting in more goods and services into a higher tariff. So my sense is that this is it's really a negotiation that's going to take place over many, many years.
Mm.
And I don't think we're going to get too much of a change, in terms of the existing deal. I think there will be a fair amount of tariffs that come through, but I think China is going to have to find its own way. If you look at the US trade deficit with China, it runs through 40-50 billion a month, dollars. And it's understandable where the US is coming from, but I don't think that the US is going to replace manufactured goods coming out of China with their own industries. I think that the ability of China to produce in scale and at very competitive pricing is very difficult to be produced in the Western world, reproduced in the Western world. So I don't think there's a solution to this trade talk, really.
Yeah.
The question really is who gets hurt more? Does the US get hurt more? Does China get hurt more? And right now, I think China is hurting.
Yeah, it does look like it. And it means, based on what you say, it means that the likes of you and I are going to be boring the listeners for years to come as we continue to speculate as to why markets are crashing down, because it doesn't look as though they're driven by fundamentals at all.
I think the significance of it is, and why it receives so much of airtime, is we're not just talking about two countries having a trade war. We're talking about the biggest economy in the world and the second biggest economy in the world, engaged in a very, very complicated issue that is probably doesn't have an easy or a short-term solution.
Mm.
Now, you couple that with what's taking place in the UK with Brexit, which is the Europe, which is combined, I suppose, the one of the biggest economies, if you just add them up, versus the UK, which is probably the second biggest player in Europe.
Yes.
These are formidable challenges for growth in the global economy to be able to achieve what we would consider, reasonable growth of 3.5-4% globally.
Mm.
You need China to grow at 6%.
That's right.
You need emerging markets, to be able, where populations are growing, you need emerging markets, to be able to grow healthily and sustainably. But the trade war certainly, puts a lot of risk to that happening.
You touched on Brexit. Of course, this week is a key week because Mr. Johnson has to try and go try his last bet of making a deal with the European Union. But he pretty much seems to suggest that it's unlikely to even happen. So what next?
He's putting on a brave face, I think. He's really negotiating from a position of absolute weakness. The Europeans are being very polite in their responses, saying, yes, there's a chance. But really, there's no reason for them to cower to any of his demands.
Mm.
And I think the impact of Brexit is going to be felt, not just in the UK or in Europe, but it's going to be felt, throughout a lot of the trading partners. Now, remember, Europe is South Africa's biggest trading partner.
That's right.
So it may affect, and it's going to affect, our ability to maintain export growth through to the European Union. Because, I think in the first 6 months at least, nobody's really going to know where they stand in terms of trade. It'll take... Certainly, without a deal, it's going to take at least 6 months, I would think, for the parties to understand, where they stand with trade with each other, Europe versus the rest of the world. So I think you're going to have a challenge there. I think there's going to be a lot of disruption to travel, logistics, supply networks, because, Europe is a free traded zone. Of course, nobody really knows what the situation in Ireland is going to be because, The Republic is going to stay in Europe, and Northern Ireland, of course, with the UK, is not. So I think that just opens up some old wounds there. And I think the challenge is going to be, diplomatically, how the UK government deals with that. So when Mr. Johnson says he's happy to leave without a deal, I don't think that's a very well considered perspective, given the ramifications in the next, I think, 6 months to a year.
Mm. And then let's take a look at a bit of company news. I saw some headlines today around EOH, the technology company, and Altron. So Altron managed to get a contract with Microsoft, which is good news for them. And people are saying it's at the expense of EOH, who've had a lot of bother. What do you think of Altron? They used to have a family kind of led leadership, and then Mteto Nyati took over, and there've been a lot of changes at the firm. Do you think that they're doing quite well?
I think Mteto has done a great job. The Fentas, had a business that was, I would describe it as a very old school business. Remember, there was the cable business, the electrical business, if I can call it that, which depended heavily on Eskom. And, with the problems at Eskom, lots of these electrical supply businesses came under pressure.
Yes.
Altron was one of them. Then they had the AutoPage cellular business. And when ICASA started tightening on tariffs, the cell operators, the likes of MTN and Vodacom, started squeezing the middlemen, and this was the AutoPage, and eventually they got out of that business. The business that they have, which they I think is the right business to grow, is the Bytes Technology Group, because it speaks to a modern digital economy.
That's right.
And they are certainly a market leader in what they do, and they've always been there. So Mteto's focus on that is for me the right approach, and certainly partnering with Microsoft, which is probably the biggest supplier of business software globally, puts them in an excellent position to provide value-added services through the Microsoft platform.
One last one, Zeta. They came out that Zeta, basically, they're an agribusiness-focused investment holding company. They came out with not so great results, but they're the beneficiaries of PepsiCo buying the Pioneer company, Pioneer Foods company, outright. I think they own about 29% of that, and they're going to get a big lump, which they're likely to give back to shareholders. Your thoughts there?
I think if they give it back to shareholders, it would be wonderful. Remember, they quote the sum of the parts at about R6.25. The Pioneer stake is about half of that.
Mm.
So if that's, you know, half of that is in cash, which is, call it R3 or so, and the share is trading at R4.25, it doesn't seem like a bad deal for shareholders. It's trading at a 40% discount to the sum of the parts. But the rest of the stuff in Zeta, although I like it, it might not have an appeal to a wider investment public out there because it's mainly agricultural businesses, you know, on the continent. So there's some logistics businesses as well. There's some good businesses in there. But it's not something that, you know, a lot of investors would describe as being sexy.
Nissan Nair, thank you very much, sir, for your time. He's a senior portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities.